And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 23 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 825. This is what God's Word says. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Awesome words, and look forward to hearing what God's Word has to say to each of our hearts this morning. God bless you.
What an awesome testimony song. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians, chapter 3, this particular passage of Scripture addresses a concern that I have regarding the modern-day church. And a part of that is because I believe that the church sells itself short in who God claims that we are to be and that we are. It's the modern-day church does not believe, for the most part, the very fundamental tenets of the faith anymore. And consequently, because of that lack of belief and that lack of trust and confidence in God, the church has become wishy-washy and has become more of a social organization than a spiritual force. And I think it's because we have set aside who we really are in Christ. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there is an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes within us. And His indwelling then and His purpose is to lead us and to teach us and to guide us into deeper and deeper relationship with God so that we become more formed in the image of God, where the image of God that we were created with shines brightly through us. And this particular passage of Scripture deals with that kind of an issue. And sometimes it's good for us to just go back and revisit these very simple tenets of the faith. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. And I'm going to read that particular passage from the New American Standard at this time. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, I ask that today You would confirm the truths of this passage to our hearts and to our minds, that we might not live beneath the privilege of full grace in You, but that, Father, instead we would rise above the world's standards, the world's ideas, and that we would be so attached and connected with You that we would become a greater force for Your good and for your glory. And so, Lord, help us today as we look at your word. For it's in your awesome and holy and perfect and pure name that we pray. Amen. This morning I want to share with you out of this particular passage six things. And as I share these, this is not one of my usual outlines of, just kind of short little words that all start with the same letter. I am departing from that for this morning, simply because I want us to get, even in the outline form, the intent or the purpose of what this particular passage is. And that purpose of this passage is for us to realize we are children of God. We are sons of God, as Paul declares. And so let's look at this particular passage, and that is the very first point this morning. We find it in verse 26, and that is that we are all sons. Let's look at it. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, when God created us, He did not create us to be aliens to Him. He created us to be His family. He created us to be able to have the privilege of relationship with Him that would last through eternity. Man, in his rebellion against God, walked away from that privilege and from that honor, and instead has attached himself to all different forms of walking away from God. Some of those particular forms take place in man's self-centeredness, where man searches for acceptance, perhaps through popularity. Perhaps it's through who knows what, but it's almost anything other than what God declares. And so that has so crept into the church that we have forgotten the fact that when Jesus Christ comes into our life, we are born into the family of God. We are adopted as sons and as daughters of God. And through that adoption process, we are a part of the full ownership of heaven. What an amazing, amazing privilege. And yet we, in many cases, have bought the lies of Satan. The lie of Satan that says, you know what? You're not worthy of God's grace. Get out of that mindset, Satan. Get away from me. The Bible says to resist him and he'll flee. We need to stand up and stand against the very enemy of our souls when he comes and tries to sow the seeds of doubt in us. We need to remember whose we are. We are God's. We are his children. We are his offspring. And Satan has no authority over us. And so we need to rebuke him when he tries to sow in us, well, you're nothing special. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Being related to Jesus Christ, being related to God, is something special. Don't fall for the enemy trying to discourage you and defeat you and destroy you. We are sons of God. Ladies, that is not written to be offensive, and you'll see why in a few moments. To consider yourself a son of God is not offensive, and you'll see in a moment. The second thing I want you to notice is that faith is the door of entry to be a son of God. Faith is the door of entry. Again, that 26th verse, look at it. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That's where your faith needs to be. Your faith needs to be placed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Your faith needs to be placed in the power and the glory of His resurrection. Your faith needs to be placed in the love of God and His willingness to forgive you and to elevate you above the world's standards. Your faith needs to be placed in Christ and Christ alone. That belief and confidence that Jesus Christ is who He declared that He is, and that He died for you, and that He loves you, that He was sent by the Father to show us how to live, how to embrace God, how to have that relationship with His Father that declares us to be sons of God. Faith is what opens the door to our relationship with God. Without faith, the Bible tells us, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, all things are possible. That's how important faith is. It enters us into life. It enters us into a deeper life with God as we are fully and completely and wholly sold out. Enters us into the life of purity before God, so that when Jesus Christ comes back, we are prepared to go. When the rapture of the church takes place, I'm going to tell you folks, there's an awful lot of people going to be disappointed because they haven't followed God's standards. Paul told us in the book of 1 Thessalonians that when Jesus Christ comes back, He's coming back for a pure church. He's coming back for a holy church. He's coming back for a church that loves His appearance. He's coming back for a church that is totally sold out. And Jesus said it this way in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Not everybody is going to get that privilege of going to be with God for eternity. But those who have entered by faith in Jesus Christ, those who walk by faith and faithful obedience and trust, those who walk the way of holiness, those who walk the way of purity before God, those are the ones that get to go to the very throne of God. Not to sit on that throne, that's God's, but to assemble at that throne is our privilege. Faith is the door of entry to become a son of God. Number three, faith is necessary to live like a son. Look at verse 27. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. If you wish to be a child of God, you must go by the way of God's commands. There isn't any other way. When we are baptized, like we had a baptismal service here a couple of weeks ago, when we are baptized, we are demonstrating our allegiance to Christ. We are following His example before He ever entered into public ministry. And we are witnessing together with Him that we are His child. And so that all comes about because of faith And faith is the absolutely essential, necessary part in order for us to be able to live on in this life like Christ wants us to live, like God wants us to live. Jesus' suffering on the cross was not so that we could live any old way we want. Christ's suffering on the cross was that so we could be able to have the privilege of living the way He wants. And sometimes that's difficult. Follow Christ and live like a son of God. Number four, faith does not care about, now pay attention to this, there are three things that are mentioned here that faith really doesn't care about. Number one, faith does not care about our bloodline. Look at verse 28, the very beginning of it. There is neither Jew nor Greek. In the eyes of God now, there's not Jew nor Greek. There is mankind. And when Jesus died on the cross, He died for the salvation of anyone who would be willing to come. And He doesn't care whether that individual is Jewish or whether that individual is Greek. By the way, that doesn't mean Greek as in from Greece. It means anyone who is not a full-blood Jew is a Greek. Anyone who is not blood-born from Israel and from the descendants in that fashion from Abraham is a Greek. Or, if you will, a Gentile. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died on the cross for Jew and Greek. It doesn't matter. And so when the New Testament comes into its fullness and the birth of the church takes place, there is an opening by faith for everyone to be able to receive the grace of God regardless of what their bloodline is. You are not excluded because your bloodline cannot be traced back to Abraham. You are not excluded. But Jesus Christ died for you. He died for all of those in Israel. He died for all of those in the rest of the world. And He doesn't care what pumps through your veins. Faith doesn't care about that. Second thing here is that faith does not care about our social status. Look at that, continuing with verse 28b. There is neither slave nor free man. Social status. Faith doesn't care about that kind of thing. Faith reaches out to bring into life all of those individuals who will receive Him. And it doesn't matter whether you are a person of wealth and high prestige, whether you are a slave. Doesn't care whether you have lots of stuff or whether you have nothing. It doesn't matter whatever your circumstance in life is, your social situation, your social status. Faith does not look at your pocketbook to determine whether or not God is going to give you life in Christ. Faith does not look at your social status to determine whether or not you're going to become or you're going to be offered the opportunity of life. Faith offers opportunity to everyone. And that's important for us to understand. There are so many prejudices in this world. and prejudices need to be set aside so that God can be glorified. For in His eyes, all are in need of grace. In His eyes, all need to be forgiven for sins. For in His eyes, all are given equal opportunity to have life. But it all goes through the same fashion. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. If we want eternal life, we must go by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can't buy our way. We can't sell our way. We must repent our way through faith. We must acknowledge before God that we have sinned against Him, and that's all sin is against God. All sin is against God. And we need to acknowledge that. Submit to God our sorrow and our repentance and a willingness to not do that. And it doesn't matter what your status is. And the third thing here is, it doesn't matter what our gender is. Continuing on, verse 28, look at the third part of it. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female. There is neither male nor female. Ladies, that's why I tell you that it's not offensive for you to be called a son of God. God does not look at the physical appearance of man or of woman. God looks at the soul and the heart. That's what He's concerned about. So God doesn't care whether you're man, whether you're woman. And in reality of that, He doesn't care if you are 5 years old or you are 500 years old. I think I'm safe. I don't believe there's anybody here 500 years old. John Moore's close. But see, those things don't matter to God. What matters to God is what you will do with His Son, Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him as your Savior? Will you live for Him as your Lord? Will you follow Him as your leader? Will you walk with Him as your friend? That's what God's concerned about. Male or female, doesn't matter. Social status, unimportant. Bloodline, God could give a rip. Faith is all important. Number five, faith connects us to one another. Notice the end of verse 28. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. For you are all one. When you look around this sanctuary, you need to realize that you are, if you have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, you are related to those others who have received Him as well. You are all one. We are all one, regardless of what moniker hangs above the door. If we have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, it doesn't matter whether we're evangelicals or Nazarenes. By the way, Greg, that's going to be coming to hold services for us as a Nazarene. He's a brother in Christ. You're going to love him. But you see, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're evangelical or United Methodist, whether you're Presbyterian or Episcopal. Doesn't matter. If you've received Jesus Christ, you are related. You are one. Faith is what connects us to one another. And friends, I want to tell you, we are connected with every believer in Christ throughout the world. Doesn't matter what country, really makes no difference. If we have trusted Christ for salvation, we are related. That's why it's important that we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if you've been paying attention to your news at all or not, but in Syria, the churches are being destroyed. Christian churches are being destroyed. Christians are being dragged out of their homes while the women are raped in front of husbands, in front of children. And then the husbands or children are killed in front of the women that have just been raped before they're killed. These are our brothers and sisters throughout the world. That's why it's important that we pray for them, that God would help them, that God would deliver them, that God would help them to be faithful to Him, clear to the end. We're related to them. So we need to pay attention. Number six, because of faith, faith grants us participation in a promise. Notice verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, notice the qualifier, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. If you want to read what that promise is, I suggest that you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 12. Or excuse me, chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God has promised Abraham that he will have offspring that number the number of stars in the heavens. God has promised Abraham that he would be a great, great father. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you share as an heir according to that promise. Folks, don't sell yourself short. Don't let Satan himself tell you that you're a nobody and a nothing. Because God has invested in you eternity. God has invested in you His Son's blood. God has invested in you all of the promises and hope of the Scripture. Don't sell yourself short, and don't sell others short either. God has a great investment in us. Let's live like children of God and not children of the world. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you, if you would, at this time, to please take your hymnals. We're going to sing a song of assurance today. It's called Blessed Assurance, number 345. I'm going to ask you to please open your Bibles to it. And as is always the case, I want you to know that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you would like to meet Him, I invite you to come to this altar while we're singing. Please feel free. The decision is yours and no one else's. Or perhaps you're here and you'd have to say, you know what, I've been kind of listening to the voice of the liar, Satan himself, who tells me I'm a nothing and a nobody, and I've kind of bought into that. But today, I want to reclaim my heritage. My heritage in Jesus Christ. If that's what you'd like to do, you just spending some time with the Lord, we invite you to come. This is what I'm going to do. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to come here to the altar at my right, your left. If you would just like to confirm your faith, if you will, and reconnect yourself with Christ, I invite you to come to the left. If you're over there, no one will bother you. My left, your right. No one will bother you. But if you'd like to meet Jesus Christ, have someone lead you to Him, you come to this other side. We'd be glad to introduce you. Let's sing number 345. If you're here walking in faith, just enjoy this blessed assurance.